This call may be recorded. Press 1 to accept.
Hello.
Hey, Mommy.
Hi. I talked to Megan.
Hey, Mommy. You did?
Yeah.
That's good. How'd it go?
Good.
When was that?
Around 5 o'clock.
You called her or she called you?
She called me.
That was nice of her. I think she leaves here a lot earlier than that. How did it go?
Good.
Would you like to tell me about it?
I'm sure she's already told you all of it. It seems like you've seen her a lot. And she was having to
No, I saw her this morning, and I probably won't see her until...
No. I mean, everything that she told me is probably stuff she's been telling you all along. So,
okay.
She had, you know what I mean? She had to probably summarize for me in 10 minutes what you've had cumulative hours to...
Okay. Did you tell her anything?
Well, no, because, you know, she said that she was only going to talk about medication.
Okay.
I mean, like, I asked her, like, you know, Dustin was trying to loop me in on this decision-making. That doesn't really seem like, you know, something that I can weigh in on without crossing a personal boundary. And she was like, oh yeah, she's like, even with what I do, like, I can't tell people what to put in their bodies. It's gotta be there. So she's like, yeah, you definitely did the right thing there, leaving it to him. And I told her that I did try to weigh in about alcohol, and she said, you know, basically that having a drink was not going to hurt anything just because you're on antidepressants. And she said if anything, like if you had too much to drink, it would like cancel it out, would be her concern. And I said that I've always, you know, that's another boundary I've always wanted to not cross. It's like dictating what you can drink and not, and I don't want to in the future ever be tempted to do that. But that your drinking had gotten pretty worrisome over the last 4 or 5 months. And she said, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. She said that this will alleviate that need.
Good.
And then she tried to... Oh. I was like, oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. Goodbye. And she goes, oh, there's just one thing that I wanted to tell you. And she's like, I am familiar with the Set Free by the Sea, and I don't have a problem with their ministry, and I've even referred people there, but it's for like hardcore drug addicts, and Dustin doesn't fit that profile in any way, and the you know, we're at a point now where inpatient could just be like Dustin avoiding having to get back to real life. And that in and of itself is not the best thing for, depression. The best thing for Dustin is to interface with work and getting out of the house and doing things. And outpatient can help him process how to do that well.
Yeah, that's what you told me to.
And I was like, my son needs me. Are you available to talk anymore if I call back? And she's like, actually, no, I'm leaving. You'll have to refer any aftercare questions to, is it Colby?
Yeah.
Or Ted?
Mm-hmm.
I did, actually, before I said my son needs me, I did say, yeah, but feel like we've been treating like these secondary conditions that didn't even exist when I first called Honey Lake in September, you know, about Dustin's problems. And even Ted said like 6 months, I wouldn't even, you know, scratch the surface to get into like the thought patterns that might be causing some of these root behaviors. She was basically like, yeah, it's obviously we're not going to ever claim to completely cure somebody in 30 days. We're just, you know, putting you on the right path. So problem is she has no idea. She has zero idea.
Idea what?
Of like what your root problems are, what your primary condition is. Like she actually thinks that you're just having like a depressive flare up because of a situation.
Dr. Kropp never talked to you.
What? Oh, so I called Dr. Kropp's office. And she transferred me to a young woman, a very young woman. And the young woman said, no, I think that Dr. Kropp actually has everything he needs. But I am, you know, available to make some notes for him if there's, you know, anything that you want to tell us.
And
I was like, yeah, I was like, well, I'm kind of gun shy about doing that because, you know, I don't want it to appear that I'm trying to frame him for anything. And I was kind of hoping more for, you know, questions that would, you know, let me know what information is most helpful. But, you know, and I kind of just rambled, like, a ton. And she was typing and going, okay, I'm making notes, and that makes sense. And, you know, I see, and I'll definitely give this to Dr. Kropp, and maybe he'll have some follow-up for you. And then I added, like, you know, if it's easier for him, you know, for me to, like, type up responses to some questions. I can email stuff to him. I gave her my email address. And then I said, I'm not sure if he realizes about kind of how time sensitive this is with Dustin needing to check out, but his clinic, you know, kind of being worried and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you're going to get out of that at this point.
I mean, if I have some primary condition, like you're saying, this type of testing uncovers that.
Right. I'm
told by many extremely well-educated people in the field that it is extremely reliable.
Who are you talking about?
Like professors and doctors.
Like Professor who?
Sherry Adams came here and taught. She used to be the director here over everything, and now she's professor.
Yeah.
Super, super sharp lady. Said that when
she
first got into psychology, she didn't believe in those tests, and was only after she did her research and doctorate and everything that she came to realize that they really work.
But, like, does that make...
You have 100% assurance in whatever you get back from that.
Right. But I'm saying, like, what difference does that make?
What do you mean?
Like, if it comes back and it says that you have a disorder and I say it's creepy for you to stalk me down the hallway and ask what man was in our kitchen, that's one thing. Or if it comes back and it says there's absolutely nothing wrong with you and you're perfectly psychologically healthy and you have a wife who says it's creepy to stalk her down a hallway and ask her who that man was in the kitchen, what difference at that point does it make? You just have a behavior that needs to change, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not, like... Other than, like,
I need to know if I have something wrong with me that makes me do wrong things to you, and if they do, if it's fixable.
Yeah, but either way, like, what you learn is don't stalk your wife down a hallway. Like, there's an element of behaviorism to changing behaviors that are harmful regardless of pathology or not pathology.
Well, you just dismissed in this conversation all the work that I've done here on the basis of the professionals supposedly not having any idea of what's
my understanding was that
know if there's something wrong with me or not.
Okay. My understanding was that Megan was there to medicate you because right now your emotions are at levels that you're not able to cope with.
I mean, she is in charge of my medicine, but she's also in charge of diagnosing me with any psychological problems and is extremely intelligent and went out of her way to talk with me through a lot of this. So I have a lot of faith in her professionalism. I know she's only telling you, oh, this is what I diagnosed him with, but she's telling me that I don't have anything that would be considered an access to diagnosis, that she doesn't think that I have any of the traits of any of these disorders that I think I find that I have. So,
what do you think? Because you've actually, like, been present when you were building your trailer, and you were actually present when you were going to flight school, and you were actually present when you were complaining that I don't foreplay enough, and you were actually present when you couldn't clean up your office and you were actually present, all the times it took you weeks to file your taxes, and you were actually present when you got angry that Sean Gossett put a picture on Facebook. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you have a full picture of what your lifestyle has been.
There are a lot of things that I would do differently, but none of those things speak to an axis. And if I'm not understanding what you're getting at, as far as what you think wrong with me,
I'm saying Megan wouldn't know any of that. Any of it. None.
I know that. Hey.
And I'm saying, like, your honest, like, self-assessment. And I'm also saying that Megan went way out of her way to make sure that we didn't get to dialogue about that.
Well, I think she's perceiving that that's not her primary role.
Right. So I'm just saying, if you're on your end, you're putting a lot of faith in, oh, she knew. She definitely is professional. She's definitely considered that with full weight, and she's so smart, she would have seen it. There's no way she would have missed it. Also, she's not willing to speak with anybody about it except for me.
I mean, you don't understand how things work here. She's part of a team that follows me around. She's spoken with my therapist. She speaks with all that.
Right. I'm just saying you're living in a bubble, and you're putting a lot of faith in people who are seeing a you that I think is amazing and perfect and wonderful and charming and smart and kind, and like I wouldn't claim anything different about the behaviors that you've shown at Honey Lake. But when you take the story about Kevin and Brianna's house and you change it to they were mad that I thought that she should talk to me about my children's education, and they told me to leave and I left.
They were.
And she says that's abusive. Like, okay, that's a complete. No, you didn't leave. The reason that we're still telling this story is because of the fact that you didn't leave.
I did leave.
No, not when you were first asked. There were all kinds of extended
theatrics. I'm sorry that I'm arguing with you about that.
I know.
In the desperate need of finding housing for myself.
I know.
My mother's called me 2 times since we've been on the phone. I can't go into this other stuff right now.
Okay.
I wish I could. Wish I had unlimited time to talk with you until we were away.
I think that that's not something we should ever talk about, Dustin. I think when I say that you didn't leave when you were asked to leave, then you say, oh.
Okay, I will say no.
Somebody's giving you information, so you take information, and then you know the information. It's good information. There are multiple witnesses. So my point is not that you need to worry about whether Megan's got the right diagnoses or whether Megan's got all the information. My point is, that you should feel the same sense of urgency to change the behaviors. Even if you don't get a diagnosis that makes you think, oh, Aaron was right all along. So what are you thinking about where you want to live?
I don't know. My brain is like mush again.
Hey. Alabama's like mush again?
My brain.
Oh, okay.
I think it speaks to what Megan's saying. I think I'm from the cusp of being permanently institutionalized if I don't get out of here right now. So
yeah, but also, Megan's also saying things like along those lines, like I think she said something about like you don't start tapering until you're on your medication until you're symptom free. And then she goes and buys symptom free. I don't remember what she said. I think she said stable environment, stable schedule. And I said, well, back up. What do you mean stable schedule? And she was describing like predictable time of going to bed and getting up, predictable, you know, time of going to work and not just like staying home all day and, you know, like a pattern of doing things, I think is what she was describing.
Mm-hmm.
But then she was like kind of launching into a like, you know, the worst thing is to just stay at home all day. Like that's mm-hmm. a, you know, that's a big concern or that's a, and I was, you know, like, well, obviously we have the opposite. Like Dustin doesn't recreate. She was like, oh, I would much rather somebody be working too much and have to taper off than not be doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like a red flag of like somebody who has no concept of your actual pathological workaholism and how toxic and how entrenched and how lifelong it is.
Well, I know that.
Like, I know, but that's somebody who thinks when I say, like, you say workaholism, they think that you're a hard worker. She's not perceiving your workaholism on the level it's on. She's not. She doesn't know about you tiling at 3 o'clock in the morning. She doesn't know about you doing Fort Caroline while you're working at Fidelity Investments. Like, she thinks that you work hard. And that's better than not working hard. But anyways, I get wanting to, like, do real life. And I think that doing real life gives you an opportunity to, like, work on behaviors in real time instead of all this, like, rehashing history that's garbage, basically.
mom just called me for the third time since we've been on the phone.
Yeah?
I don't have to call her.
Why?
She's trying to figure out what I need to do to leave here.
Well, what do you want to do?
Can I live with your parents? Is that even available?
I haven't asked them.
Would you like to ask them?
Well, I mean, obviously I was trying to ascertain, like, your level of ability to respect boundaries and understand that you need to be accountable to other people. And I thought, based on our conversation earlier today, that you were using Ted as an excuse to not be accountable to other people, except for a one-hour clinical setting once a week. Do you feel like I'm saying that accurately?
No, I think that they think it would be healthier for me to go to a different church. I've been pretty insistent on that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I can't be accountable to other people. They're just saying all this processing of stuff that we're doing is not healthy to do without a therapist. Can help us actually process
the talking
in circles issues that we have. Sure.
The talking in circles, it's stupid. You should stop. Right?
Yeah. So they would not like us to do that with our church or any other church.
I don't want to do this with our church or any other church. I have no interest in going into Aaron's office and talking about whether you manipulated the advice of the elders.
Great.
And they have no interest in that either. That's not productive. But when people say to you, dude, you can't go around telling people that your wife tried to run you over in the parking lot. That's awful. Like, you need to be able to live real life with real people who you're really able to listen to when they tell you real stuff like that.
You're talking about our driveway?
No, I'm talking about a church. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think anybody is looking to rehash history. But in real time, as events are happening, I can't live life with you without eyeballs on it.
Okay.
And I have to know that you're able to defer to the judgment of people who you know have good judgment, instead of deferring to your own wisdom, which you've proven to be extremely lacking.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
Okay, what?
I can defer to the wisdom of others.
What?
I can defer to the wisdom of others.
To our people who love us?
I'm not supposed to go back to that church.
I mean, do you feel like our elders have tried to lure you into fruitless arguments and are trying to rehash and process all of this in an unhealthy way that's antagonizing your depression?
Yes, I do feel like that, actually.
Really? Because you were telling me that they were not engaging with you. And that was what was upsetting.
They haven't in quite a while, but yeah, when I was talking, we were both talking with her, and he was both saying that I was lying and manipulating you, and not actually wanting to give me examples to work through. He was saying
That's not true.
He said that I had absolutely had psychological issues.
That's not true either. Neither of those things happened in my presence.
I couldn't say they happened in your presence, but they...
You said while we were meeting with him.
Yeah, when we were having meetings. He did all those things. So, I can't...
And you still can't see those things?
He never would give me examples to see them.
Well, that's not true.
Not even... Oh, my gosh. Okay. Can't do this right now, honey. I need to find a home.
Yeah. So you want to live with my parents?
I guess.
Is that your, I mean, given the situation, that's your choice?
If that's acceptable to everybody, that would give us
a
chance to interact sometimes and hopefully work through this.
I don't know. I mean, my concern is the boundaries.
I'm not worried about the boundaries.
What?
What's an issue with the boundaries?
Like, I'm really surprised to hear that you have a phone recording of me saying I wanted you to attempt to hug me in front of the children.
That's not what I said you said. I said you said and what the recording says is that you asked me if I'd be willing to hug you, I think.
I don't know.
Obviously, you didn't mean that you wanted a hug, so I'm sorry. But...
Right. Obviously, I know how to try to get a hug from you if I want a hug from you.
It's
not even that I don't want to hug you. Like, there's nothing in the entire world that I want to do with you right now. More than...
There's nothing in the entire world that you want to do with me right now?
No, more than... I'm trying... I know this is being recorded. Like, I want to touch you.
I
obviously all the time, but I have to stop and think about the actual dangers of the situation and the actual psychological damage that's being done to my children. So it's not always a question of what I want to do.
Okay.
It's a question of what is wise and prudent.
Sure. If you don't want a hug, I'm not going to hug you.
I know, but I'm saying it's not even a question of what I want.
I know. I'm saying when I offered to hug you and you said no, I didn't do it because I'm not going to.
I know, but the children saw that. The children saw that, and what really needed to happen for the children's benefit in that moment, once the damage had been done and they saw the offer made, what really needed to happen for my children was I needed to hug you for the sake of the children to not be confused and damaged by why their mom, who was supposed to be warm and loving and appreciative of their father who just spent time playing with them, why their mom is so cold and ugly and withholding. That's not good for them. I needed to try to hug you to salvage that situation. But I couldn't do it because all that does is perpetuate you feeling like you should do that again someday. And that's not safe for the children either.
I'm sorry that I offered that to you. I thought based on our conversation that you might want to.
But you knew that I was capable of getting that if I needed it.
You did this, like, mind reading thing where it's like, I don't even know. It's like you think that I don't legitimately think that when you said that on the phone that you were hinting you might want a hug, or...
Yeah, but I didn't... Do you understand when we sit and we say, hey, I'm really disappointed that I don't get to Skype with you and Nathan because I was thinking that we were going to have an opportunity to set up some clear boundaries. Like,
yeah,
you should hear that word boundaries and understand that that's something really official, which is a very, very different kind of communication than, oh, I thought you were hinting at something under the surface, and I acted on that.
No, honey, you said would you be willing to hug me? So that's,
I don't remember saying that, but again, like, if we were going to alter our boundaries, I think that would have come with some more, like, really clear communication.
Okay. Well, I got it wrong, and I'm sorry.
And can you agree that when someone asks you to leave a house you don't live in or own, you should leave?
Yeah.
Then?
Yeah.
And not after you've gotten in another jab or after you've looked to the man of the house or... Like, can you understand that boundary?
Yes.
And can you understand when somebody doesn't want to be alone with you? That you shouldn't... Like, you should go out of your way to avoid being alone with that person?
Yes.
And you understand you shouldn't push people?
Yeah.
and you understand you shouldn't file false court documents about people.
Yeah.
And you understand if two people give you conflicting advice, you should suggest getting together?
Yeah.
To reach consensus?
Yeah.
All right, I'll look into it.
All right, Mommy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to go, but I gotta call my mom back or she's gonna start getting nurses scared for me.
Really? That file server password you gave me didn't work. Did you copy and paste it from somewhere?
I thought from the password. It sounds scary.
Huh?
I thought I copied it from when I created the password, so if it doesn't work, I might be in trouble.
Was it one password or two? It looks like two passwords.
Yeah, I can't honestly remember why there were two. But I would just try both of them. I do have to get going, Mommy. Sorry.
Have you talked to Ted about your guns?
Just told me that he told you to keep them from me.
So, that's all he said?
Mm-hmm.
So how many are there?
I don't know. I'll have to think about it and add them up. My mom's got one. Mm-hmm.
Why?
She's worried about me killing myself.
What good does it do to take one gun?
What do you mean? She also left me and I'm in the hospital.
I know, but she only took one gun.
That's all I had.
Huh?
That's all I had.
Oh, you mean on you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, mommy, but I gotta go.
Okay.
Gotta call.
All right, bye.
Love you.
You can if you want. I love you. Bye.
Thanks.